Predators host the Leafs. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick alongside. And David Poile in his 90s outfit. He's got his 90s get up here on radio. We'll just let you see it if you're in the building tonight. We're not going to tell you what it looks like. David, how you doing?
I don't know how my clothes have gone from decade to decade. I don't think I have any more bell bottoms left, though. So.
Yeah. Well, Pete and Terry said that their wardrobe essentially had not changed since the 90s, so they're just going to wear what they normally wear.
Okay, well, that's being honest.
Yeah.
Actually, Pete referenced that the other night in California. Pete said something about it, and Hal said, so you're just going to dress normal. In fact, I was surprised, David, when I asked you if you ever had, back in the day, the early days here, if you ever had a pager or a beeper. I think that's 90s, and you said no.
No. First time I ever had a cell phone, which was not a cell phone. It was a shoe phone. It was huge.
Yes.
It was like, if anybody remembers the TV show Get Smart.
Yes.
That's what it was. It was huge. This
you couldn't exactly stick it in your pocket.
Yeah, I've had smaller suitcases than this
one. Did you have to pull out the antenna?
I think there was one, yeah. Just one thing on clothes and how things have gone through generations. When I first started, which is way back, like in the 70s, I guess, most of the players actually shopped at the same stores. And it was like a tailor-made clothes coming out of Montreal. Hmm. And they all had the same clothes. So you'd see team to team, and it was all, big plaids, very loud suits, wide ties and all that. So I guess we've somewhat evolved from that.
So you could always tell on the streets if there was a hockey player.
Exactly. Right?
There's a hockey team in town.
Exactly.
So I guess you feel a little bit better after the trip now that California trip has concluded?
Really feel good after the San Jose game. That was our best game in a long time. As we've discussed on the show the last, few weeks here, it's just been some inconsistencies. But, not that I want to compare us to anybody else, but I noticed in the last 10 games we've been 500, St. Louis has been 500, and Winnipeg has been 500, all teams that are trying to get to the first spot in our division. So, again, the games are tough. The games are important. It's so close in the standings. But I was really happy with how we played in San Jose. It just seemed like a much better team game. Fewer mistakes. I think in a lot of games we're actually playing pretty good in large segments of the games. But we've made the big faux pas, if you will, and turned the game around usually for the other team, which has been kind of unfortunate. And the other thing, like going back to the Anaheim game and several games before that, they got the first goal or two goals, and as our coaches say, we've been chasing the game a lot more than we should. Our MO has always been, to try to have that good first period and try to get the lead, and we've actually been very successful in doing that over the last few years, and at the beginning of the season, we're doing it all the time. And when we get the first goal, we seem to be a much better team, and we got that in San Jose, and that certainly was the difference in the game, in my opinion.
I said the last couple post games, David, and you tell me if I'm off with this or not. I said every winning team needs kind of those core guys, which are the guys that have the big contracts and, on your first line, what have you. And then I said everybody also needs those glue guys in a room. And I said, because we've obviously been talking a lot about this Colton Sissons, Craig Smith, and Yarncroke line, which have really exploded in the last couple of games. And I said Colton Sissons is kind of – he's one of those glue guys. I mean, I even referenced that. I said, you can call him Elmers because whatever you guys need him to do, he does it, and he does it, and you get production out of him. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. And, there's those type of guys that work real hard that everybody has, and like you're describing Colton Sissons or Yarncroft. But when they produce in addition to that, that's your Grand Slam home run or what have you. That's the difference in winning hockey games. I mean, Joey's line has played, very, very well this year and probably been our most consistent line of the year, and they've certainly produced the most. They did that the other night when we won, but, the difference is always a goal by the third or the fourth line, and, we've got that for two games in a row from Colton Sissons, so that's really good news going into the playoffs. Colton has always played really well in the big games, played well in the playoffs, so, again, I see our line starting to line up a little bit better right now with Lavi more or less committed to keeping the top line together and not experimenting anymore with that. Maybe this is a line now with Sissons and Yarny and Smitty. And I think whatever we do in our fourth fourth line will be fine. So once again, we come back to the, you know, where we are with the second line that's going to have to be spearheaded right now with Michael Granlund, and I think eventually and hope soon it would be with Kyle Turris.
You mentioned Colton Sissons. It's not the first time he's done big things, like you said. Certainly we all remember 2 years ago in the Western Conference Final against Anaheim, but just the whole – now he's had a career year in his points. The maturation of Colton Sissons, what have you seen from, you know, the last 2 to 3 years to this point where he is, where he's developed now?
I think it's a combination of us, you know, giving him the opportunity and him believing in himself. You know, I think players like that that work really hard, they like to get rewarded from time to time, either in, you know, points. I think I think that really, really helps when you score a goal or, you know, get some points or you get moved up in the lineup. And, you know, Colton has benefited by his good play and hard work and some injuries along the way so that, you know, the coaches trust him in all situations. So he's become a very valuable player on our hockey club.
Yesterday you guys announced that Austin Watson is back in the fold with the team. I don't know what you can or can't comment on. I know you guys released a statement yesterday, but he is back with the team. What can you tell us on that front?
Well, I think it's probably less said the better. I mean, Austin's – I met with him this morning, had a real good conversation with him, and, you know all the things that have taken place and what he needs to do. Again, I'm pretty confident as where he is and what happened in the program. Right now, our plans are he'll be at practice tomorrow, and we've got to find out what kind of shape he's in, and then whenever that is, 2, 3, 4 days, maybe there'd be an opportunity to go to Milwaukee. Maybe there'd be the opportunity to play here. I think we have to go day by day just to see where he is to start with. But I'm, you know, based on the knowledge that I have of his treatment and the meeting with him this morning, I'm very optimistic that he could get back in our lineup before the end of this season.
Roster-wise, as a general manager, you can do anything at this point, right, because the trading deadline is passed?
Yeah, that's correct. So the roster is not a problem.
So you can have as many carry as much as
right.
You want, right?
Exactly.
Just glad to see that he's moving in the right direction from a personal standpoint for sure. David, you brought up Kyle Turris, and obviously, you know, watching Mikhail Granlund, we've got a chance now to see him for a few games. He's a guy that is very, very dynamic, but he's been playing with some different guys. You can see what the coaching staff is doing, trying to see what exactly the right combination is to have the right guys playing with him. But the good news is he looks like he's getting more and more acclimated to the team and the surroundings.
Yeah, I think so. But again, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, we have to find chemistry on the second line. If as I said earlier, Lavi's going to keep Forsberg, Johansson and Arvidsson together, then Granlund is going to land on the second line, and we need to get some production out of that line. It's as simple as that. If we can get some scoring on that line, I think we'll be a tough out for sure.
One of the things that has been discussed is Kyle Turris has sat for a couple of games. You just try. You see, they're trying to push the right buttons. This is always what the coaching staff is tasked to do. I'm sure on any team is get the best out of a player. And We know Kyle Turris is a good player. It looks like he's going to get a chance to get back in there tonight, and hopefully he'll move in the right direction here and get back to playing the way he's capable of.
Well, that's the hope. Again, it's, you know, there's always two sides to a story. There's what we think of his play and what he thinks of his play. And, you know, I guess you probably realize that we probably don't totally agree 100%. If we agreed 100%, he'd probably be back in the lineup, and this would have never happened. So, you know, we've just got to keep working together. I mean, what you said is absolutely correct. Kyle is a really good player, and, you know, he's had some injuries this year. You know, whether he's been playing with the right people or if it's been any number of things, I mean, our expectations are a little bit higher than that, mostly from just production. I mean, we do talk about a lot of different things, but to me, the thing that we need right now from Kyle is production. I mean, he's always been a sound player defensively, so if he's a plus player and he produces, that should get us back on the same page.
You've got a dynamic team coming in here tonight in the Toronto Maple Leafs, just loaded with a lot of talent. It's been really interesting, some of their recent games, just real high scoring from just a fan's entertainment standpoint. It's been fun to watch. Not easy to defend, for sure, but the team did a really good job several weeks ago in Toronto holding them down. That's not easy to do, but What goes through your mind when you see a team come out there like the Maple Leafs that could score seven on any particular night?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. In my the side of me that's probably more of a fan, you know, a 7-6 game would be okay as long as we get the
as
seven.
As long as you get the seven, yeah.
But, you know, I think as we get closer to the playoffs, and we saw that against San Jose, you know, really good team and a good offensive team. We limited them pretty good in terms of their overall chances and scoring chances and a couple of goals against. So, you know, I think that's a better way for us to play. Having said that, not to be contradictory, I wouldn't mind seeing us, you know, score a few more goals. We haven't had, you know, we've been scoring okay, but I'd, you know, if our norm is three to win, if we could get four tonight, that'd be fantastic. I'd like to see a little bit more of that.
Last thing for you on my end, I noticed this with Wayne Simmonds. He dropped the gloves the other night against San Jose, but it seems like with Simmonds in there and Boyle in there and Cody McLeod's presence as well, there seems to be a different vibe. There's a little bit more menacing lineup, and I know that's one of the things that one element you wanted to bring to the team. The way are you noticing a difference in the way the teams are playing you from that standpoint?
Yeah, I think so. And I think you said it exactly right. I mean, there's a big physical presence that we, you know, didn't have as much earlier in the year. I think that allows your top players to operate a little bit more comfortably out there. Probably gives you a little bit more space. I know from talking to the coaches, I think it helps their matchups. I've said before, you can't exactly pick your opponents in the playoffs, but it does appear that we're going to have to go through some bigger, more physical teams to have any success, either getting out of our division or getting out of our conference. So I'm happy with the play of the new guys, and I think that they were definitely needed for how we have to match up in the playoffs.
David, you're going to hear this come up again, and you're fresh off the GM meetings, and I was wondering if there was any discussions of this, because it's already being tossed around. Last year we talked about it with the two best teams in hockey in the same division. This team that's here tonight, they're going to play Boston in the first round. One of those two teams is going home in the first round. And you've got the three best teams in the Eastern Conference right there in the same division, which means only one of them can get to a conference final. So you'll hear that talk again. Do you think they have any – are they discussing maybe going back, or do you think this is what the league wants, kind of the rivalries?
I think this is where we are for the next couple of years. I think when we get to 32 teams, I think that format allows you to have a little bit more change. In all my years in the league, there's never been a system that everybody thought was the right system.
Right.
I really think in the Western Division, where the distances – are so far apart versus the East, that we should really have the first two rounds within our division, versus if there's four teams that make the playoffs in each division. I mean, because you could get a situation, say in the second round, where say we're playing Vancouver in the second round, so there's a lot of travel and distance, et cetera, and say Chicago and St. Louis could be playing in the second round. Right there, you could make an argument that there would be a big advantage to the team who succeeds to go on to the third round. That really doesn't exist too much in the East side. So, I mean, which gets into more discussion. Do you have one system for one conference and another system for another conference? So I don't know the answer exactly. I would have time, you know, someday for having the ability to have Los Angeles and Anaheim play in the Stanley Cup Finals, or New York and the Islanders. But we're not set up that way right now. Our system is not bad, but again, it gets a little out of whack on in all fairness, I think, on our side, just because of the travel.
All right, and finally, the most hard-hitting question you're going to get in this interview. You've been a GM for four decades, since it's 90s night. Your favorite decade is...
The 60s.
The 60s. That was pre-GM David Poile.
Which were the good old days.
60s night is coming up.
I was going to say, we'll get a 60s night here in Smashville soon. Good to see you. Thanks for doing this, as always.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Predators General Manager David Poile every week, brought to you by Gary Force Acura and Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We'll come back with more of Darren and Donnick next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.